Charles, you can send the kids down. Barbara's going to do something special with the kids in a minute. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your giving. Before I do that, raise your hand if you know Benson Idahosa. Benson Idahosa. He's a terrific apostle in the land of Kenya, Africa. If you watch Kenneth Copeland and some of those guys, you'll periodically see Benson on their programs. But Benson Idahosa, I was in one of his workshops one time at a minister's meeting, and he said, the way I do evangelism, I go to a town where there's no gospel. And I start at the top, you know, the mayor, whoever, and I say, show me the meanest, biggest, most powerful witch in town. And I want to know where they live and who they are. So, well, everybody in Africa knows who the biggest witch in town is. Over there, you know, little house, hut. So he goes and he knocks on the door. And when the witch comes to the door, he introduces himself. And he says, hi, Mrs. Witch, or Mr. Witch in some cases. Just want you to know that my name is Benson Idahosa. I'm here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm taking over the town. So get out. He turns around and walks away. Well, that's a little bit of what's going on with the Gadsden. It's time to knock on the door and tell all those old uglies that have been in Douglas for a century, it's time to get out. Amen? I'm here in the name of the Lord. It's my town now. Huh? Well, that's kind of what's going on. And I thought that, as the young people were talking about that, I was reminded of Benson Idahosa and his approach to citywide evangelism. I'm here now. I'm taking over. Hit the road, Jack. But the simple voice of authority can do these things. Amen? And along that same line, I just, in Jesus' name right now, I cover every prayer warrior, every event that we participate in this endeavor to help the Gadsden be cleansed, to help our city be cleansed. We just plead the blood of Jesus over our prayer warriors, over our participators, the participants of this event. We just plead the blood of Jesus. Even though Satan has prior warning and prior notice to get out, we will not allow him to come against us and try to stop us from doing what we're supposed to do. And we bind the powers of Satan in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over our team, and we prevail in the name, the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We prevail by the word of our testimony and the power of his blood. We prevail by the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we prevail and take authority and set the city free for the plans of God to flow in this place and the will of God to be made manifest in this place. And we are honored to be a part, dear Lord, of what you're doing in Douglas, Arizona. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you for your giving in. Go ahead and put that on the screen, Mark. Mark, put up Mark 12:41. I want to read that. Jesus is here, and he sat down opposite the treasury. He saw how the crowd was casting money in the treasury, and many rich people were throwing in large sums. Praise God for the rich! Okay? And a widow who was poverty-stricken came and put in 2 copper mites, the smallest of coins, which together make 0.5 cent. Praise God for the widows! And he called the disciples to him, and he said, truly and surely I tell you, this widow, she who is poverty-stricken, has put in more than all these contributing to the treasury. One more verse, I believe. For they all threw in out of their abundance. Praise God for abundance. But she out of the deep poverty has put in everything that she has, even all that she had on which to live. I'm telling you right now, whichever category you're in, abundant, rich man, or poverty-stricken widow, I'm telling you right now, Jesus sees what you put in that box back there. You mean he's watching? He's watching, he's watching, he's watching. And when I think about the fact that Jesus sees what I do in a way of giving, you know, we don't have to let our right hand know what the left hand is doing. We don't have to share this with everybody. Oh, I gave $28 last week. I'm just using it. Tell everybody I'm a big giver. No, Jesus is watching, and that's what matters. Jesus is watching, and that's what counts. And so as you give your money to the work of God through this church, I want you to know that Jesus is watching, and he will reward you. I will not give you a certificate for giving the most or the least, but Jesus is watching, and he's the one we want to please. Amen? Amen. Thank you for your giving. It counts for much, and I just bless you for it in Jesus' name. Now, Barbara's going to call the kids up and do something special here. She is so special. Anything she does is special. The day I first saw her, I said, she's special. Yeah. Come on up, kiddos. Gather around Nana Barbara.
Yes. Come on up. This little story is called Love You Forever, and I do it in honor of all the mothers. Once upon a time, there was this mother that had a new little baby boy, and she used to sit and rock him and rock him and rock him. And as she would rock him, she would sing, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Well, that little baby, he began to grow and grow and grow, and pretty soon he was 2 years old. And he pulled books out of the bookshelf, and he pulled food out of the cabinet, and he even flushed his mama's watch down the toilet. And sometimes that mother would say, this kid is driving me crazy. But late at night, when he was in his bed, sound asleep, she'd tippy-toe into his room. She'd pick him up in his arm, her arms, and she would rock him back and forth. And as she'd rock him, she'd sing, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Well, time went on, and that little boy grew to be 9 years old. And he carried frogs in his pocket. And he was often late coming in for dinner. And every once in a while, he would say bad words. And sometimes that mother would say, I'd like to sell him to the zoo. But late at night, when he was in his bed sound asleep, she'd tippy-toe into his room and get down by his bed and hold him in her arms, and she'd sing, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Well, time went on, and that little boy grew to be a teenager. And he wore strange clothes, and he listened to strange music, and he had strange friends. And once in a while, that mother would say, I feel like I'm living in a zoo. But late at night, in the middle of the night, when he's sound asleep, she would go into his room, and she would get down by his bed and hold him in her arms, and she'd sing, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Well, that teenager, he grew to be a man, and he moved across town into his own house. But every great once in a while on a dark night, that mom would put a ladder on top of her car, and she would drive across town. And if all the lights were off, she'd take that ladder and she'd put it up against the house by his bedroom window, and she'd crawl up and she'd look inside. And if she was very sure he was sound asleep, she'd crawl in the window and crawl over to his bed, and she'd get down beside him and she would sing, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Well, time went on, and that mama thought she didn't have very much longer to live. And one day she called her son, and she said, son, could you please come by the house? And he said, sure, Mom. So he came by, and she said, there's a little song I want to sing for you. You don't know it, but I just want to sing it for you. And she started out and she said, looked up into his eyes and she said, I'll love you forever. I'll like you. Or was crying. She couldn't sing anymore. And he looked down in her face and
He took her into his arms and he looked down and he said, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as you're living, my mommy, you'll be. Well, that night, that man went on home to his house and he walked up the stairs to the doorway where his own baby daughter was asleep in a cradle. And he walked in and he picked her up into his arms and he started rocking her back and forth, back and forth. And as he rocked her, he sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Amen. The children can make their way back upstairs again. You guys. You know, love never stops. You know, when you have children, it never ends. Your love never ends. For as long as you live, your love is there for your children. And it's really a precious thing. Someone once told me, when you're ready for your heart to be out walking around on the outside of your body, you're ready to be a mother. Amen. Bless you guys.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Told you she's awesome. Everybody happy? Look at somebody and say, I'm happy. How about you? Amen. I'd appreciate very much if you'd pray for me that I will say what needs to be said and keep my mouth shut otherwise. Huh? My wife says she prays that all the time. Sometimes I know what to do and sometimes I don't. But this day is set aside for mothers. And I feel like we should do our part in honoring them. And yet, how do we do that? How do you really honor your mother? What could I really do that counts for mom? When it's all said and done one day and we're all in heaven's glory together, I'd like to be able to tell my mom, Mom, your prayers are all answered. That's why I'm here. I can't think of a better honor than to do my part to make sure my mother's prayers get answered. Barbara's dad used to tell a little bit of his family history when he was just a teenager. And he would talk about how when he would go out as a teenager and do things that teenage boys shouldn't do. Now, you know, that doesn't mean every teenager does that, but a lot of us did. But he said he'd go out and he would do things, you know, that he shouldn't have been doing. And he'd come home in the wee hours of the morning and as he'd sneak into the house, you know, kids think they're sneaking in and the parents hear every squeak as they walk across the floor. Like when my kids would come in the wee hours, I would go, whew, I can go to sleep now. And he said that he would come in and he would hear his mother praying for him. And he always felt like that did probably more to draw him to Jesus than anything ever did, to know that his mother prayed for him when he was out and about. And he would come home and hear her praying for him. It always just kind of got him right there, you know. Well, he went on to become a mighty man of God. He was an ordained pastor for 60 years and left this world in a whirl of glory. And he awaits us in heaven. But a mother's prayers are not only important, they are vital. Sometimes I wonder how anyone ever got born again without a mother's prayers. Chances are there was a grandmother that prayed, or a great-grandmother, somebody, an honorable woman somewhere down in history was praying for that child. And I just honor my own mother today and thank God that she still prays for me. I am truly blessed. My mom's almost 90 years of age and still praying for me. I like that. I trust my mother's prayers. If you don't trust your mother's prayers, pray that she be born again. Learn to pray right. Amen. Before I take the first scripture, Mark, I'll be ready here in a minute to bring things up on the screen. I'm not putting this on the screen. I'll just read it to you. But in Galatians chapter 4, we find out Abraham had two sons. Everybody knows Abraham had two sons. Ishmael, the firstborn, and then Isaac, second born, who was the son of promise. And the first one was born by Hagar. The second one was born by Sarah. And the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4 that Hagar stands for Mount Sinai, which corresponds to the law of Moses and to the present Jerusalem. I may know there's a Sinai over there in the desert, and there is a Jerusalem over there in Israel. Well, Hagar stands for these natural, physical places. The Bible goes on to tell us that, but the Jerusalem, Jerusalem that is above, the heavenly Jerusalem, stands for Sarah, who is free, and she is our mother. Galatians chapter 4 says that Sarah, the new, who stands for the new Jerusalem, and new Jerusalem, who stands for Sarah, is our mother. So we have a spiritual mom. In chapter 4 of the book of Romans, you'll see that the Bible clearly defines Abraham as our father. Huh? Abraham is our father, and Sarah is our mother. And Sarah corresponds with New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is our mother. And I just think that's very interesting. It says, therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, Hagar, or the slaves of the present physical Jerusalem, but we are children of the free woman, Sarah, the New Jerusalem. We are born free. Because of the New Jerusalem mother that we have, we are born free. We're not born slaves. Look at somebody and say, I'm born free. So God is our father, heavenly father. Abraham is our father, spiritually speaking. Sarah is our mother, spiritually speaking. And the New Jerusalem is our spiritual mother. Interesting, isn't it? Now, you'll find all that in the book of Galatians chapter 4. If you want to go there later, don't do it now, because I'd rather you listen to some more things I have to say. But we have a family tree from the Bible. And our family tree doesn't really, it does, yes, it starts physically with Adam and Eve, okay? But our family tree starts spiritual. Our spiritual family tree started with Abraham and Sarah. I'm sure glad it was God's idea to put me in the family tree. Now, I want to share with you a few things about godly mothers from the scripture. Now, Mark, we can put this one up, Luke 21, first four verses. Okay, we just did this in the Amplified, but we'll go ahead and run through it again in this next version just for the sake of what I'm wanting to show here. And Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites. And he said, truly I say unto you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood she had. Again, this is a different version of the same thing we read previously. But why I want to honor this mother today is because she was a giving mother. Are there any mothers in the house? There's some mothers here? These biblical examples that I'm sharing with you right now and for the next few minutes are examples that are good for you to follow, moms. Now, we'll work on the fathers on Father's Day, okay? But if you want to be a good mother in the sight of God and the sight of your children, be a giving mother. It's interesting here that she gave all that she had. She had two lesser coins with very little value. It's all she had, but it was all she had. And Jesus said, because it was all, it was bigger than all the other offerings. All is bigger than half. All is bigger than a third. All is bigger than 9/10. All is the biggest, even if it's just too much. Mothers, if you want to be a good mother before God and before your family, be a giver. I'm not asking you to put money in the church. You know, I'll let God ask you for that. But we all know a mother that is a proper mother will give all that she has, all that she is. She'll give all that she ever shall be to her children. I don't think there's a mother in this house today that wouldn't give all for her child. Amen. You'd give your life for your child. I mean, you wouldn't have the second thought. You wouldn't have a hesitation, not the iota of a hesitation. If it was necessary to give your life for your child, wham, it's done. I honor you, mothers, for being giving mothers. It's not only the godly thing to do, it's the biblical thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And I'm going to ask Bill Linnenweaver, would you turn that cooler off, please? I'm about to freeze half to death up here. Okay, I'm back on. I'm all fully alive now. This scripture shows us the mother with a giving heart. Now, here's another aspect of mothers in the world of persistence. Turn to Luke 18, the first eight verses. How many know a good mother's persistent? She's persistent with her babies. How many times did you tell him? How many times did you tell her? How many times did you tell your husband? Persistence. Are you a persistent mom? You need to be a persistent mom. It's the Bible thing to do. God expects you to be a persistent mom. Verse 18, then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying there was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Let's vote him out. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to the judge, to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, you know, even an unjust judge starts thinking about it. Afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. Okay, we can stop there. Just don't do the next three. Moms, don't give up. Don't give up. When you're fighting for your children, when you're fighting for your family, don't give up. Don't give up. Moms, when you're fighting with the devil for your child that is in rebellion, don't give up. We do need to do those other three, Mark. Do 6, 7, and 8. Can you do that? Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own? Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bear, God bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. When you're in a fight with the devil for your child, you can take this to the bank. You can take it to God and say, Lord, I'm expecting a just judgment on this child. I've done everything I know to do. Now he's yours. And you turn that child over to the Lord and you say, Lord, I know you're going to avenge me. The devil has been against me. He's been against my family. Devil's been against my child. It looks hopeless. The child is in rebellion. The child is walking in darkness. But Lord, I'm counting on you as the just judge to fix this kid. I've seen the time in praying for some of my own children and grandchildren. When I run out of things to pray, I did all the formulas. You know, you get formulas every month from all the different ministries, you know, when you're on their mailing list. And I'm nothing against formulas. Sometimes they work. But you said you can run out of formulas. You pray everything you know to pray and pray everything everybody tells you to pray. And finally, you go to the Lord for this child and you say, Lord, just fix him. Lord, you do something with her. She's yours. That's what God was waiting on. The faster you can come to that point in your heart where you really give them to the Lord, quit trying to fix them yourself. Now, God can use you and you can do a certain amount of good, but God is the fixer. He is the restorer. He is the saver. He is the redeemer. He is the deliverer. God Almighty is the one that's going to fix that child. Now, when I fix something, I fix a few things. And I don't appreciate somebody coming looking over my shoulder telling me how to fix it if I already know how. So you don't need to be looking over God's shoulder saying, Lord, don't you think you ought to do lulululululu? Lord, while we're talking about this child, I'm praying for this. Lord, don't you remember what they put in the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine about what to do here? Lord, you haven't done that formula yet. God doesn't appreciate us looking over his shoulder to see if he's doing it right. Just go ahead and give the kid to the Lord and leave it alone. Start rejoicing in faith. Lord, I know you're on this. I know you're the one that can fix this. Lord, I gave this child to you. I want him to stay in your hands because I don't want him back in my hands. This works for somebody in here today. He'll fix him. He'll fix him. If you did your part and taught that child when it was young, taught that child the right way to go when they're young. When they're old, they won't depart. There may be some diversions, but that child's coming back if they were taught the Word of God. The Word of God is in their memory banks. And every time they make even a wrong decision, they have to make that wrong decision based on the fact that their memory bank says you should do something else. And sooner or later, it gets through to them. Sooner or later, that kid hits bottom or hits the brick wall and says, I'm going to have to turn this thing around. I need God. Hello. This mother in Luke chapter 18 was a persistent mother. Mamas, mothers, be persistent when you're talking to your child, your husband, your devil, the landlord. I don't care who you're talking to, the school teacher, the counselor. Be persistent in behalf of your child. See the good that's in that child and start speaking it out of them. Speaking it over them. Speaking it in their behalf. Amen. I did not know Catherine Kuhlman. If you're as old as I am or older, you've heard of Kathleen Kuhlman. Maybe you had the opportunity of hearing her. I heard a tape or two a long time ago, but I'm presently reading one of her latest books. She passed away in 1976. But prior to that, for about 20 years, she was a fireball for Jesus that swept the land with a mighty, mighty evangelism revival. It just, and the power of God, she'd walk in and people just start getting healed. She'd just walk in and start praising God. And, you know, she didn't pray for people necessarily in a prayer line. She'd just walk in and start glorifying God and glorifying the Word of God, and people start jumping out of wheelchairs. Tumors and cancers just start falling off people. I mean, amazing documented miracles, just amazing things. Well, Catherine Kuhlman was known for her workaholic characteristics. 18 hours a day of hard work in the ministry was not uncommon in her life. But her brother was the laziest man on earth. And one day she was talking to her mother. His mother was sick and on her, what we call the deathbed. Her mother's in her last days. And her mother was asking about the son, Miss Kuhlman's brother. And then Catherine Kuhlman said of her brother, she said, "Mom, you know this son of yours that you raised has got to be the laziest, good-for-nothingest son that God has ever allowed to live." And Mama said, "Yeah, I know, honey, but you know, you got to give him a little leeway here, give him a little slack. He's just not been the same since that operation." She said, "Mom, that was years and years and years ago. He had appendicitis, and they took it out when he's 15 years old. What operation are you talking about?" She said, "Well, that one, he just hasn't been quite the same since. Just relax. He'll be all right." And Miss Kuhlman, in her book, she says, "That's a mother's heart. That's a mother's heart. The laziest man on earth. The whole family knows he's the laziest man on earth. Good for nothing." And Mom says, "He'll be all right. Just give him some slack." That only a mom can do that. Mothers take up for their children. Mothers take up for their children. If you ever want to see the fur fly, just do something a little mean in front of a mama to her child. You won't do that again. Mark, I think we're going to Luke 1, 46 through 55. Now, this is Jesus' mother. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. He's regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Have you ever heard the term the blessed mother of Jesus? The Bible called that out 2,000 years ago. Mary prophesied over her life 2,000 years ago. And praise God for the Catholics that still call her the blessed. You know, we ought to catch up to that and start talking about the blessed mother. I mean, talk about mothers being blessed. I don't know of any mother on earth that's ever been as blessed as Mary. She had God's baby. Huh? Come on. Why are you looking at me like that? It's the truth. "All generations will call me blessed, for he, God, who is mighty, has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Do you see the appreciation in these verses? Mary is glorifying God. Mary is showing appreciation to what God's done in her life. Next verse. "And his, God's mercy, is on those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he's sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Now, the reason I wanted this passage read to you was to show Mary, the mother of Jesus, as the appreciative mother. We had the giving mother in the first verse. We had the persistent mother in the second one. Now we have the appreciative mother. If you notice how she's glorifying God for everything that's happened to her. Huh? Mothers, you cannot go wrong by glorifying God. Now, many, if you take time later on to go through this passage, there are several verses there that are prophetic in their nature, because some of those things have happened, some are happening, and some are to happen, but it's a process of being what it's supposed to be, and her blessings here were very prophetic, and she was blessing the Lord and glorifying the God in appreciation from her heart. Mothers, if you want to please God, be appreciative. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. We're going to do 21 through 28 on the verses. And we're going to see the great faith mother, mother of great faith. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." He answered her not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away. She cries out after us." He answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, she's not an Israelite. Then she came and worshiped him and said, Lord, help me. He answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Ooh. Next verse is 28 coming up. Then Jesus answered and said to her, Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Wow. Did we miss a verse somewhere? Verse 27? I think we missed a verse. I don't know how I did that. Okay, Jesus said it's not, in verse 26, he said it's not good to cast the bread to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then verse 28, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is a mother of great faith. Now, in that day and time, Jesus was on an assignment to the people of Israel. His assignment in that day was not to yet to the nations of the Gentiles. That was to come a little bit later and through the church and through his body. But as a minister personal, in this case, his mission, his assignment was to the people of Israel. And when this Canaanite lady, this Gentile, non-Jewish lady came to him, he was like saying, my time's not for you. My word's not for you. My miracles aren't for you. It's just, you know, go somewhere else to get your help. But she had the faith, the gall, the guts, if I may, the internal fortitude to say, Lord, I know you're on assignment with Israel, but Lord, I need help. My baby's hurting. Lord, ain't nobody else can do this. You got to do it. He took his assignment, set it right here for a minute, and said, I'm going to take care of that. He said, Lady, great is your faith. She had the faith that if just a tiny crumb of bread fell off of the Israelite table, and she as a Gentile would pick up that tiniest crumb of bread, it would be enough faith to set her daughter free. Great faith was not, how do you say it, mountainous, gigantic. Great faith came in the form of a crumb. Now, if you want to see a crumb, just look around here and follow Jacob. He leaves crumbs. When your crumb faith, I didn't say crummy faith, there's no such thing. No such thing as crummy faith. But when your crumb of faith, your little tiny bit of faith is in Jesus, that's all you need. That's all you need. Jesus said in another place, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, which is the seed, the littlest of all the seeds, you can move a mountain. He didn't say you have to get, 58 tons of seeds and then you can finally move a mountain. He said, no, just one little mustard seed. Because our faith is not in the amount. Our faith is in Jesus. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, if you have one sitting by you, tell him to pay attention. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, the wives, with understanding and give honor. Everybody say that. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Now, some women don't like that term, weaker. But if you wrestle them to the floor, they will give up and yield and say, yes, I'm weaker. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs together of the grace of life that your prayers may not be hindered. God honors the woman to such an extent that he answers prayers when the woman is honored. A man that does not honor his wife, and I think we could even say a child that does not honor his mother, going to have a hard time getting the prayers answered. Look at Luke 24, first 12 verses in Luke 24. Now this is when Jesus was being resurrected. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and the certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to the apostles like idle tales. They did not believe them. Well, after all, they're just women. But Peter arose and he ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. I want to submit to you here, a mother was included when it talked about Mary, the mother. What verse was that? I forget which one of the prior verses. Mary was the mother of James. And so we have a mother in this account, right? It's interesting that the Lord chose three women. At least one was a mother, maybe all of them. But he chose this mother to be the first woman preacher, the first evangelist, the first human on the planet to bring forth the good news, the gospel news that he had risen. Now get a hold of this. The greatest message between the first of Genesis and the last of Revelation, the greatest message between the covers of your Bible is the message that he lives. Without the message that he has risen from the dead and lives, the rest of the gospel is powerless. And a mother was chosen to be the first to carry this message. I believe in that sense, God says, let me show you how I can honor the mothers on Mother's Day. I'm going to choose me a mother to take the message of messages, the sermon of sermons, the news of news to the rest of the world. Mothers, don't think you are worthless or without value. Don't think you cannot be used of God. God will use you to spread his good news. He honors you in spreading his good news. Ephesians 6, first three verses. Very familiar passage. We use it in so many ways. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and who? Father and who? Father and who? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. In verse 3, the promise is that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. There's a lot of things that could be said to this. Honor your mother that it'll be well with you. You know, if you did, not that we would leave God out of anything, because that's pretty stupid to even think about. But let's just say for sake of what I'm about to share with you, that God doesn't exist. It would still be a good idea to honor your mother so that it would be well with you. Because if you don't please mama, you're in trouble. If you don't please mama, you're in trouble. Husbands, if you don't please your children's mama, you're in trouble, because God honors the mother and has set the example for us. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I just bless your word, and I bless our ears and hearts to hear your word. And Lord, may our desire and our ability and our capacity to honor the mothers be on the increase today. And may we learn from your word new and better ways to honor our mothers, in Jesus' name. Barbara and Nina are going to join me right now, and I'm going to ask all the mothers to come up. You might have noticed the flowers over here. We're going to let all the mothers have a little flower in a minute, but not yet. But we want to pray for all the mothers. And so just come on up here and just, you know, join us for a moment, for a couple of minutes while we pray over you and with you. All the mothers, please. Peter's going to play something motherly. Peter, thank you. You're doing an awesome job. I was thinking about our praise and worship team this morning and how they do so much to bless the church, and, you know, they don't get paid for it. That sounds like a mother to you. Do you get paid for being a mother? Huh? How many of you got paid for being a mother? It cost you something to be a mother, didn't it? It cost you something to be a mother. Well, it cost our praise and worship something to bless us with all this beautiful, beautiful praise and worship. And so we honor them too. Amen. But let's just go ahead. Let's just bless these mothers. This is so good to have the mothers. Here, start back here. The first should be last. Last to be first. Lord, we bless this mother. We bless her motherly heart. We bless her motherly soul. Her motherly characteristics and personality. Lord, may Mother Vanna just be on the increase. May the children that surround her, both physical children and spiritual children, May they be blessed by her motherly nature. And may she be able to tell the world that I'm a good mother, not out of my own heart, but because my heart's full of Jesus. And I get my goodness and I get my wisdom from the Lord Himself. And we give God all the glory in Jesus' name. We bless these mothers. We bless these mothers in Jesus' name. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Father, I'm praying that prayers will be answered. Lord, some of these mothers have been the persistent mothers, and they're going to keep on being persistent mothers until they see all the prayers answered. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we just bless the spirit of persistence, the tenacity that says, I will pray for my children until I see the will of God fully manifested in their lives. In Jesus' name, I will pray for my children as long as I have breath, and my prayers will live forever. My prayers will never die. My prayers will find fulfillment. My prayers will do what they were sent out to do, because I pray in the name of Jesus. Answered prayer. Answers to prayer come forth in Jesus' name. Answers to prayer come forth in Jesus' name. Answers to prayer. Answers to prayer in Jesus' name. Lord, I set my heart and set my prayer in agreement with every pure heart prayer that's prayed by these mothers. Lord, we agree with the prayers that you've put in their hearts for their children. Lord, the prayers that you have put in these mothers' hearts are coming from your heart. You show them how to pray. And Lord, I agree with that. I set my heart in agreement with your prayers and your desires for their children. And Lord, I just thank you that I have the opportunity to pray with these mothers. And say, I'm on your side, Mom. I'm on your side as you pray for your children. I'm on your side. I'm on your side. I'm on your side. The prayers that you have prayed according to the will of God for your children, I agree with that. I set myself in agreement with your prayers. And I thank you that the prayers you have prayed are coming to pass. The needs are being met. The changes are being made. Oh, yes. Some of these children need adjustment, and some need an extreme makeover. And Lord, you're doing what needs to be done. You're doing the miracles that I can't do. Oh, Lord, I hear these mothers saying, I've done all I know to do. Well, just keep doing that, Mom. Just keep doing all you know to do, and let the rest of it be up to God. He is the professional in the impossible. We are expected to do the possible. And we are expected to let Him do the impossible. He does not require of us to do the impossible. He only requires of our faith to do the impossible. We can't do anything in our own strength. It's our faith that makes the strength. It's our faith that brings forth possibilities even out of impossibles. It's our faith. And we believe you, Lord. We trust in you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that all the prayers we have prayed for these children, Lord, these prayers are alive. Lord, we believe that our prayers are living. Our prayers are going forth. Our prayers are making a difference. We believe that the angels of heaven are actually working with our prayers in behalf of our children. And Lord, you've been on this a long time, and we've been on it a long time. But Lord, you don't give up, and we don't give up. We trust you, Lord, to bring forth the manifestation and the answers that we long for. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Everybody just reach your hands up towards these mothers. You guys are sitting back there. Just reach your hands up here and just bless them. Send your blessings, send your prayers to them. Being a mother is precious. Being a mother is noble. Being a mother is honorable. But being another mother can be a very hard thing, can be a very difficult thing. And it's a difficulty that they are proud to carry. They're proud to carry it. They're proud to carry it. The mothers have the heart. They've got the strength to take on the responsibility. They carry their children, and they carry the responsibility of prayer for their children. Because they are a mother, and it's in their nature to do so. And we bless them now in Jesus' name. We bless these mothers. Thank you, Father. Lord, for the mothers that we know in our families that are not yet born again. Lord, all of us have family members where the mothers are not yet born again. Lord, reach into their hearts. Touch them. Change them. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, convict them of the sin that's in their lives and bring them forth under repentance. Bring forth the healing of their soul, the completeness of their deliverance and salvation. Father, for the mothers that are in our families that need to be born again, we say they will be born again. That as for me and my house, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And Lord, for these precious mothers in our families that need to be born again, we speak by faith and we speak prophetically. They shall be born again. They shall serve the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Mothers, the Lord wants you to know that that child was His first. That child you've been praying for, that child was His child first. And mothers, when that child won't listen to you, God knows how to put them in a place where they'll listen to Him. That's so much better. They'll listen to God. He'll finally get them to the place where they're willing to listen, and they'll listen to God. And then in following in turn, once they begin to hear the Lord, listen to the Lord, they'll begin to listen to you, Mama. They'll begin to honor you and respect you. They'll begin to obey your words, and they'll begin to seek your counsel. Oh, the Lord knows how to speak their language, and He'll never leave them. He'll never forsake them. When you can't touch that child, when you can't be in contact with that child, when you can't speak to that child, the Lord can. He's there. He's not going to leave them. He's not going to forsake them. He's there. You can